Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager. And in the first weekend essay podcast of the year, we have feature writer Amanda Newman-Smith explaining why understanding ourselves better helps form better relationships. Take it away, Amanda.
In Money Marketing's end of year podcast, I talked about one of my New Year's resolutions being to work on a novel that has been itching to get out for a long time. As I've mentioned in previous weekend essays, I've been writing creatively since my teens, but just for fun. This time, I wanted to do it seriously with some proper preparation and research, rather than just writing off the cuff. So I sketched out a plot, visited some different locations to take some notes, and looked online for some tips on characterisation. A blog from one fiction writer in the US recommended doing online personality tests for each of your characters, as a way of creating more rounded personalities, and that appealed to me. Although they are not real people, characters need to be fleshed out as if they are, otherwise they can end up being one-dimensional. That's one of my pet hates when I'm reading fiction. I always see it as a missed opportunity and it leaves me feeling a bit cheated. If the writer can't be bothered to create anything more than cardboard cutouts, why should readers bother? So I wanted all my characters, in minor ones, to have backstories and lifelike personalities. For me, character creation is similar to forming relationships in the real world. I start out with a name or an image in my mind, which is like meeting someone for the first time, and as time goes on, the characters gradually reveal themselves to me. It's impossible to know everything about them all at once, and you can't really know them until you see how they interact with others in different situations. I know this all sounds a bit odd given that these people are creations with no life of their own, but there are times when I'm genuinely surprised at how they develop. Many a time I've tried writing a scene I'd set out early on in a plot outline that I thought was dramatic or would take the narrative from A to B, but it hasn't worked. Sometimes the words just don't sit right. It's like trying to flatten out bumps in an old duvet. When you've really worked on your characters, you can't get away with contrived plots. The reason for sharing my experience of creating writing is because doing personality tests as a range of different characters, and later as myself, has made me realise how useful it is to have some psychological insight into yourself and other people when building relationships. Not only have these tests helped me depict how fictional characters would probably interact if they were real people, they've also given me better insight into myself and my interaction with family and friends. It's easier to see what makes us get on and what makes us clash. With financial advice being all about people, whether it's building teams within the business or client relationships, I think it's helpful to understand what makes yourself and others tick so you can get the best out of relationships. I'm not suggesting everyone in the advice profession takes these sorts of tests and forces them onto clients. That'll be plain ridiculous. But having said that, I know lots of advisors and support staff, especially those in the early stages of their career, are interested in areas like behavioural science, because they think it's relevant to the profession. A couple of years ago, I wrote an article that looked at whether psychology is playing a bigger part in financial advice. I discovered that if advisors gain an understanding of a client's relationship with money, including their unconscious beliefs and biases, they can help that client make better financial decisions. That might explain why my feature on the best books for budding advisors a couple of years ago contained so many books about psychology. It was an area that pretty much every advisor I spoke to for a book recommendation was reading about. One kind advisor even sent me a copy of the book he'd recommended. He promised me it would change the way I looked at things, and I have to say it did. I became much more aware of the potential for unconscious biases and how our perceptions of reality are framed by our lived experience. Psychometric testing has been used by all sorts of businesses as part of their recruitment processes for years, and I admit I used to think it was stuff and nonsense. My husband still thinks this, but his view is based on lived experience and seeing it not really going anywhere. Dan works in construction, and one of his past employers used psychometric testing to assess their senior managers. It was quite a big firm, so it could afford to do it, but all it did was hire or promote too many similar people. According to Dan, there were just not enough creative thinkers among senior management, which was borne out when the profiles of the senior management were plotted on a whiteboard. They were mostly crammed together in one area of the chart with just a couple of creative thinkers on the other side. What I took away from my chat with Dan about this is that firms need to be clear on what they want to achieve and how deeper insight into employees' personalities and behaviour can improve the business. I wondered if his previous employer saw the lack of creative thinkers as a red flag and used the data they'd gathered as a starting point to make changes. It was somewhere on the to-do list, I gather, but the firm appeared to have other fish to fry. In financial advice, I think there is more scope to do it properly and reap the rewards. I've written a few times about Succession Wealth's Insight Scheme, which helps advisors understand their personality type, whether they are analytical, for example, and how to work with and communicate effectively with different personality types. I'd say this kind of thing is essential for managers because, as well as understanding their own behaviour towards the people they are managing, they need to understand where those people are coming from. Managers need support to become good managers, the ability to spot when it's appropriate to offer a proverbial arm around the shoulder or take a tougher line with employees doesn't magically appear on promotion. In my experience with personality tests, I'd say relying on psychological insight to build better relationships is a bit like using a sat-nav. For it to work properly, you have to trust it rather than having one foot in and one foot out. After doing my personality test, I felt lots of things were spot on. I was thinking, yes, this is me. This is exactly what I'm like and what I do. I just hadn't understood why I did those things or how other people may perceive it. An example of that is when I was a lot younger and had no parental responsibilities. I needed my own space, a breather from socialising. I was very shy at the time and I often had to gear myself up for social events. I didn't realise I may have seemed unapproachable or aloof in my Greta Garbo moments. Even now at work, there are days when I'm happy to chat all day on the phone back to back, but other days I just don't feel like it. All I want to do is get my head down and write. According to the test, this is normal for my personality type. It's apparently the need to recharge my batteries after being in social situations. So I'm not, as my eldest son jokes, just being emo. Other conclusions from the personality reports appear to be anomalies, and I had to think a bit more about them before realising they too were correct. An example of that was having run two of my very different characters through the test, one a police officer and the other a criminal mastermind. The personality type came out the same. Even allowing for the fact that they're not real people, I couldn't see how that could be. I'd given different answers to the questions and my vision wasn't of a bad apple cop or a goody two-shoes criminal. How could they be identical? Doing some more research online showed me how the personality traits were the same, but were just being used in different ways. This particular personality type's excellent organisational skills and ability to manage people could be used for the good of society, the police officer, or for personal gain for illegal activities, the criminal. Once I understood that, I could see how to create interesting new dilemmas for those characters, which I hope will add depth and plot twists when hopefully my manuscript sees the light of day. It was also revealing that personality types I thought would be the same turned out to be different. I encouraged my oldest son to take the test, thinking he would be like me. From the things he says, I know his mind and thinking process works like mine. But Liam has Dan's competitive streak, and as a young performer, not shy like I was at his age, his results were different. However, we share many characteristics, so I wasn't completely on the wrong track. The final point I want to make is that wherever there are people, there is the potential for misunderstandings and conflict. It's well known that most arguments stem from communication problems. So if people communicate differently because they have different personality types, being able to understand yourself and others can help to avoid conflict and bring harmony to the workplace. Maybe it's because my kids have subjected me to lots of John Lennon songs over Christmas about love, peace and tranquility, but I'm all for that.
Thanks, Amanda, for kicking off the year right. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition, Money Marketing Magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.